إن الحمد لله all praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى نحمده ونستعينه we praise him and we seek his assistance ونستغفره and we seek his forgiveness ونؤمن به and we believe in him ونتوكل عليه and we place our trust upon him ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا we seek the protection of Allah سبحانه وتعالى from the evil within ourselves ومن سيئات أعمالنا and from the weakness of our deeds من يهده الله فلا مضل له وإذا لا تلا guides then they can lead him astray وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ Whoever he leads astray, they then they can guide him on the straight path. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ I bear witness that he is then worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ He is alone and has no partner. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُ وَرَسُولُهُ And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم دينا قيما ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين وقال تعالى ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي رضي الله تعالى عنه لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected ulama kiram, elders, guests, brothers, youngsters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sparing us and giving us the opportunity of being alive for yet another Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. While we show our gratitude and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this wonderful ni'mah that he bestowed upon us, we ask Allah ta'ala to treat with kindness those family and friends of ours who were with us not so long ago. That may Allah ta'ala grant him high status in Jannah, grant the family and friends sabr to bear the loss. All the different parts of the world where Muslims are undergoing some kind of difficulty, whether it be Palestine, China or other parts of the world, Allah ta'ala ease the difficulties for them. Those who are having difficulties in the home, Allah ta'ala ease the anxieties for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such, when time of our exit comes, we can leave this world with the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our lips in such a manner that Allah ta'ala is pleased with us. Respected elders, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has identified and He has specified a particular moment in which each and every one of us were to make our entry into this world, the minute, the second, the place, the circumstances, wherever we are going to be, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already specified, He already has a specific place, a specific point in time, a specific space in time and a space in the earth in which this is going to happen to us where we make our exit from this world. So our entry has taken place already. We are waiting for our exit. And Allah Ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ حَقَّ تُقَاتِي وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should be conscious of Him. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ And do not die except in this condition that you are submitting to me. That you are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us and He tells us that we need to die in that condition of iman. That condition in which we are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Looking at this, my dear brothers, alhamdulillah, the beautiful deen of Islam is such a deen as when one scholar was asked, what is the difference between Islam and other religions? And he mentioned, Islam does not only ask you to do good, but it creates a structure for that to happen. For example, all religions say that you must give charity, but Islam has the institute of zakah in it. All religions say you want a pure society, but Islam has hijab, parada, separation to ensure that there is no immorality taking place. So whatever thing Islam has encouraged, there are structures in place to make sure it happens. This is a beautiful deen given to us. Furthermore, we find Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran about Sirat al-Mustaqim. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah has guided me on the straight path. What is the straight path? The straight path which Allah Ta'ala has made for us. When you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every rakat of salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Guide us on the straight path. What is the straight path that we are talking about? A hadith explain that when a person is going through this passage of life And he's going through life, he has to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this journey. And as he's going through this journey, you can liken it to a person going through a passage. As he's going through this passage, there are interleading doors on the side. And from each door, there is a caller calling out, why don't you come in here? Why don't you come in here? Why don't you come in here? Deviating him from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. For each and every person, that may mean something different. For that youngster who is involved in sin, or he is trying to live a life that is straight, suddenly a door opens up to say, why don't you come in here? Why didn't you pop in here for some kind of fun? Or pop in here for some kind of entertainment? And each one you pass, there's another one waiting for you. Concerning that, we can just understand from the story of Juraij, which you may have heard, that Juraij was a person who was a pious and devout person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very, very pious. While he was pious, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the story to the people for them to understand that one day while he was making his salah, his mother called out to him and she said, Juraij, and he's making his nafil salah and he thinks to himself and he says, Ya Rabbi ummi wa salati, O Allah, my mother, O my salah, my mother, O my salah. Just on him not responding to his mother's call, the mother mentioned and she cursed him, she said, I make this, put this curse on you, that may you not die until you see the face of a prostitute. Now Juraij had a place of worship of his own. People respected him. They thought him to be a highly devoted person. Anyway, what happened, that there was a lady, there was a young girl who was pregnant, and she was pregnant through another shepherd that was there, but they made a plan to con it such to say that Juraij was the father of the child, and she began telling people that Juraij is the father of the child. Like that, people lost respect for him. The honor that they had for him was no longer there. And he was degraded in the eyes of the people. They broke down the temple and the place where he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They broke that down also. Anyway, eventually when the woman gave birth and they were taking him to task, he called upon these people and said, ask the child also. And when Allah ta'ala made it such that eventually the child spoke and said, that Juraij is not the father of this, is not my father, so and so, a particular shepherd is my father. The point I want to bring in here, my dear brothers, is that the person, what happened to him as a result of the dua of his mom, when he was called by his mother, what choice did he have? His choice was my salah or respond to my mother. Today, when we are called, what is our choice? The person is thinking, is it my PlayStation that must I carry onward or my mother? Is it the TV program that I'm watching or my mother? Is it my friends or my mother? Is it the fun that I'm having or my mother? This is a choice that a person has, and unfortunately, we make the wrong choice in that. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, istajibu lillahi wa li rasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, istajibu lillahi wa rasooli. That respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ They are calling you to that which will revive you, that which will give you life again. The call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on one side and the call of shaitan is on the other side. Think about our own lives. Whose call have we been responding to all the time in our lives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that kind of consciousness. Whenever we are faced with a particular situation, a person has his choices in his mind. Must I do this or must I do that? What goes through my mind when I make these choices? Wallahi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what made them make the choice? They didn't opt for the easy way out. They didn't look for the pleasure of the world. They didn't look for the convenience, but they looked at it if it was in response to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I obeying Allah ta'ala in this instance or not? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what didn't he do for this ummah? Sometimes we fear and we worry, we think, okay, they are mocking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of cartoons. Other things are taking place where they're trying to degrade him, and that will never happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility and He will ensure that the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam flies higher than everything else till the day of Qiyamah. The mocking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place in time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, and look how Allah ta'ala made it a reality. Can you imagine that when one of the enemies of Islam had come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him that you are abtar, You are a person, you have no male offspring. So your name will die very soon. People will forget about you. You are Abtar. Your name will die very soon. People will forget about you. Allah Ta'ala responded by saying, إِنَّ شَأْنِيَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Indeed, the person who hates you, he is the one whose name will be cut off. But the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as we have heard in research that has been carried out, that when the Adhan starts for Fajr Day in the Fiji Islands, and continues in every country, almost every minute, every country there's the Adhan going on, and every Adhan, what would you hear? أَشَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَشَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When the Adhan is over, people are making dua for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you're sitting here, and any majma, anybody hears the name Muhammad, what does he say? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with love that comes in his heart. This can only come from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that his nur is complete. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even though the disbelievers dislike it. Respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that this deen stays alive. But the question is, who is Allah ta'ala going to use to keep this deen alive? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use anybody. He can use anybody who he wants. He doesn't need anybody at all. When he mentions in Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ma'alakum, what is wrong with you? Idha qila lakum unfiru fi sabilillah. When you are told to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ithaqaltum adal ard, you make yourself heavy on the earth. Araditum bil hayati dunya min al akhirah. Are you more pleased with the life of the dunya than the akhirah? Fama mata'u la hayati dunya illa qaleel. The world, the pleasures of the world is only for a short space of time. Then he goes further on to say, إِلَّا تَنْفِرُوا. If you do not go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُعَذِبْكُمْ عَذَابًا عَلِيمًا. He will give you a painful punishment. وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا خَيْرَكُمْ. And he will choose another nation to do that for him. وَلَا تَدُرُّوهُ شَيْئًا. And you cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise, and through the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the deen is going to reach every home. The deen is going to reach every home. But who is he going to use in the process? If we are used in the process, then alhamdulillah, we can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has used us for this deen. Coming back to the point where we find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they gave whatever they had just to ensure لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةَ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا, so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reigns supreme. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and he completed his test very, very nicely. What was his test? He had to leave his family aside. Leave his family in Makkah at one point in time, where there was no vegetation. She cannot see any anis or any samir. There's no companion there. Nobody she can talk to. Nobody she can communicate with. Nowhere can she see any source of comfort, any source of nourishment, any source of nutrition, any resource, nothing at all. And he leaves her there. What question does she ask him? She asks him only this basic question. Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this? I am seeing myself in a place, I can't see any sign of survival around me. I can't see how I'm going to survive. But Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this? He said yes. She said, idhan la yudhi'an Allah. If that is the case, and Allah ta'ala asked you to leave me here, then I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never desert us. The conviction that she had, she can't see anything around her which will ensure her survival. But she knows, I'm following the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to happen for me. Today, as far as youngsters are concerned, and we have different people are falling into evil in various ways. But how do we keep on that straight path? Look at the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam for inspiration. Who was there as handsome as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Women throwing themselves at his feet. They throwing themselves at his feet. What does he say? Ya Rabb, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. That the prison is more beloved to me than that which they call me towards. People are running, plotting, planning, scheming, mixing and chatting and everything to get connect with a particular woman, particular girl in their life, deceiving and undercover this and undercover that. But here, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam shows us the very same thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was offered. They told him, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if it is woman you're looking for, we'll give you the most beautiful woman of Medina, stop whatever you are doing. He didn't opt for that. He didn't opt for that. That is my Nabi. That is my model. That is my example. That is the person I need to follow if I want to go into Jannah. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't choose that, why should I be choosing that? Why should I be looking for Jannah in this world? Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. Respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put it such even amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had this reality in them that they were going for the Akhirah. Nothing mattered to them besides the year after. We find Suhaib Rumi, when he was there in Makkah, and the time of Hijrah was taking place, people were moving to Medina. What they were going for? What were they going to Medina for? There wasn't people there that they knew. They were just going there to look after what? They had no vested interest. The only interest that they had was to safeguard the Iman. Suhaib radiallahu anhu, as he goes out, he meets the enemy, catches him, the Quraysh catch him, and he tells them and he says, you know, that I am the best archer amongst you. I will shoot every arrow in my quiver to you. If that's finished, I'll use my sword. But if it is my money that you're looking for, my property you're looking for, my money is at a certain place, my property is there, you can have that, but allow me a safe passage to Medina. He gave up whatever he owned. He gave up whatever he owned for what? To go somewhere where he could safeguard this Iman. How much do I treasure this Iman? How much do I value this Iman? If a person requires Izzah, Allah Ta'ala mentions, أَيَبْتَهُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةِ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Are they looking for Izzah then other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You will never find it there. No matter who you try to please, you can never please them. Izzah is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it in this world and the Akhirah also inshaAllah. Respected elders and brothers, sometimes we find we get engaged and going to different places for the form of entertainment. Entertainment in terms of when with their pop idols and singers and everybody else, people actually pay to go there to listen to them, to take them more involved into sin. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my example to you is like the example of a person who has lit a fire. He lit a fire and there are moths and other insects flying around it and they're almost getting burnt with that fire. And a person is there and is warding those moths and the other insects away so they don't get burnt. He says, أَنَا أَخِذُكُمْ بِحُجَزِكُمْ. I'm holding you by your waists. I'm holding you by your hip. That you don't fall into the fire of Jahannam. بَأَنْتُمْ تُفَلَّتُونَ بِيَدَيَّ. But you are just escaping and slipping from my hands. Nabi ﷺ's concern was that how he could save each and every person. Each and every person from the fire of Jahannam and take them into Jannah. If we think we're enjoying pleasures in this world, how long is it? Quran mentioned it's so short-lived. Hadith explained, a person had all the luxuries in this world, all the conveniences in this world, whatever he wanted, he had it with him. Maybe not without any effort at all, just one command, people bring it to him and serving him all the time. But if he has to go into the Akhirah, and he is put into Jahannam for one moment in time, only one moment in time, it is said, he will forget every pleasure that he had. On the other hand, a person may be going to difficulty. What is depression? Hard times, financial crisis, you have family problems, no matter what difficulty you are going through. When a person goes into Jannah for one moment, he wouldn't feel any kind of, that he had any difficulty at all. We are going to the year after. This is our journey taking us there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped us and has guided us to get there. Today, nowadays, we find people to navigate somewhere. We use navigators in your cars, the garments and tom-toms and everything else to take us wherever we are going. We know if you want to go there, you need to follow. When the person says turn right, you must turn right. If you don't, then some recalculating has to take place. The recalculating has to take place, otherwise you wouldn't get to your destination. We are going to a destination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us the path. Let us not take the off-ramps where we get lost. The off-ramps of fitna, the off-ramps of drugs, the off-ramps of the casinos, the off-ramps of gambling, the off-ramps of getting involved in zina. All those things taking us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stick to the sirat al-mustaqim, that path which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to be on all the time. Respected elders and brothers, one scholar mentioned that the foundation of deen lies in the pillars of Islam. The foundation of deen lies in the pillars of Islam, the ibadah that we have to do. But the perfection and completion of deen lies in a person's akhlaq, where it is mentioned, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have been sent to perfect and complete the moral code. Ibadah is so important for us, and this akhlaq is important for us. Quran is important for us, sunnah is important for us. The ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are important for us. The teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are important for us. Put these things together, and you got the ideal formula for you in terms of living in this world, a peaceful life, and going to the akhirah, entering Jannah with salam, inshallah. Allah ta'ala make it a reality for all of us. Respected and brothers, always when we speak, we think, okay, I'll start sometime. You know, maybe it's still early. But never procrastinate. Never delay anything that you wish to do. You never know whether you get the chance to do it again. Simple thing. If a person wanted to visit somebody who's sick, and he said, okay, I'll go there tomorrow, a day after tomorrow, sometimes suddenly you hear the person passed away. Sometimes also it happens that you wanted to see a particular person, you thought you'll communicate with them. When you go there, and it's more so if it is your own parents, if they ask you to do certain favors for them and you didn't do it, and then when you go to the hospital, you go to see them, you try to give them whatever you want, they said, the nurses say, no, you cannot give them any liquids, the kidney is not functioning properly at all. You want to talk to them, they can't respond to you. They can't even hear you. You want to see them, the eyes are closed. Then you think about all the sawab that was there, when if you had to look at your parents, you look at your parents, give them a gaze, then you get a thawab of a hajj and umrah. All those doors become shut onto you. Then you think, why did I waste those moments? When a person loses his moments, this thing can never come back. As Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran, when a person comes to Qiyamah and his eyes close and he sees the reality of the Akhirah, he will say, and who can be more? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In speech where he says, the person will say, رَبِّي رُجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Oh Allah, send me back. Oh Allah, send me back. At least if I can do one more good deed, now I have seen the reality of the Akhirah. What will help us on the day? يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَوْ مَعْلُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On that day, neither a person's wealth will benefit him, neither will his children benefit him. In fact, the hadith mentions, you will go to your wife on the day of Qiyamah, asking them for one good deed, and they'll say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. A person will go to his son, to his daughter, those family members, those people you ran to support for in the dunya, they will be chasing you back saying, we need it for ourselves. People, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي. Family members will be running away from each other. That is the day we are preparing for. How does this happen? This can only happen if you do something constructive. A shopkeeper knows, if I want to do business, I need to structure something, I need to get certain stocks, I need to ensure the security, my stocks don't start walking away without people paying for it, I need to ensure that it's marked correctly, I need to ensure that I do the necessary marketing, and he can do what he can get whatever he wants. But if he is very, very haphazard concerning it, then you'll find he run at a loss. What greater loss can there be concerning the Akhirah? As far as the deen is concerned, I know I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What preparations have I made to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What preparations have I made to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hadith explains, Allah ta'ala mentions, the hadith mentions, man mata wa lam yaghzu wa lam yuhaddith bi nafsahu mata ala shubatin min an-nifaq. That going out of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so important that that person who passes away, he didn't go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And neither did it cross his mind that maybe I should be doing something for the deen. If that happens, مَعْتَ عَلَى شُعْبَةٍ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ, that then he passes away on a branch of hypocrisy. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, these are our models, which as Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدُوا. If people believe as you all have believed, as the Sahaba have believed, then understand that you are guided. Respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us his deen very, very easily. We are sitting here in this masjid. How is it that we are in this masjid? How is it that we are in this masjid? Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cry. We may have heard this over and over again, but it's always been an inspiration for me that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif, and he went to Taif, we know what happened to him. We know he was stoned, jeered, mocked, scoffed at, sworn at, abused, you name it, it happened to him. Blood oozing out from his Mubarak body. His shoes sticking to his body. And he goes to a particular garden. And there he engages and converses with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, complains, Allahumma ilayka ashku du'fa quwwati wa qillati hilati. Oh Allah, I'm complaining to you, not about them, about my weakness. About my weakness. And he turns to Allah ta'ala and he says, In lam yakun bika alayya ghadabun fala ubali. Oh Allah, as long as you are not angry with me, then I don't mind. As long as you are not upset with me, then I don't mind. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets stoned. Everything happens to him. But he's worried about his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as Allah ta'ala is not cross with him. We know the angels were sent to say that the two mountains in either side of this particular town, we can get it to crush these people and they'll be destroyed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mercy on that day has seen us as Muslims here today. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. Perhaps in the progeny, there would be somebody who would embrace Islam and the progeny would become Muslims. From amongst the progeny, from the progeny of the people of Taif was Muhammad bin Qasim. Muhammad bin Qasim went to the Indo-Pak subcontinent and there he gave the message of Islam and gave the da'wah of Islam to the people of the subcontinent. And that is where they embraced Islam. And because he made that journey, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried in Taif for us. Muhammad bin Qasim left the Arabian Peninsula for us. He went all the way to India. When he got there, that is when the message went across. And we are sitting here today as Muslims in a masjid like this. Deen didn't come easy. It didn't come easy to us. Because they understood the value of it, they sacrificed for it, we'll find the benefit of it, that we find ourselves in comfortable masajid. If we don't let this particular silsila, this chain carry on in future, is it going to stop with us? Is it going to happen that now suddenly we feel we're satisfied, we're okay? Who's going to carry on with this particular work? Who's going to carry on with this particular effort if we don't show the importance of it to our children? If my child sees that the soccer matches are more important for me, the cricket matches are more important for me, the television is more important for me, the cinemas are more important for me, when is he ever going to know that deen is important for me? When will that come into a person's life? We can tell your children how much you want. They may not listen, but they're very, very, very susceptible to what they see us doing. They're very, very susceptible to see what they see us doing. Brothers, all is not lost, there is still hope. Every person can reach certain stages. Quran, the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِ بَيْنَ سِتِّينَ وَسَبْعِينَ that the age of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. 60 and 70 years, and that is all a person can do in terms of his a'mal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that we know that only good deeds will benefit us in the akhirah. Only good deeds will benefit us in the year after. How can we accumulate good deeds? If a person directs another, if you direct somebody else to a particular good deed, that person becomes a truthful person. He becomes a namazi. He becomes an obedient person. He becomes a person who practices deen. Whatever good that person does, you'll be getting the thawab for it. As you mentioned now, Muhammad bin Qasim became the thawab for the action that people are doing all over the world who come from the Indo-Pak subcontinent because he was instrumental in that. There's another example of that. It is mentioned that in the early days, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving the message, and he's telling the people about Islam, a lot of people came with objections and they came with accusations and calling him names and everything else. Till there was a person by the name of Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi. Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself and he said, I want to hear, I know poetry, I know prose, I know sorcery. Let me see and listen to the message of this particular person to see if he's a sorcerer, if he's a poet or he's a con man. Then he comes and he listens to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he listens to it, he's affected by it, and he takes the message home and he embraces Islam. He embraces Islam. He goes and gives his message to the people over there in his tribe. Just to digress a bit and to come back here. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Who doesn't know Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu? I think nearly every khatib who comes here, every person who gives a talk, every time you open the kitab concerning hadith, you hear the name of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who narrated the most ahadith. The most ahadith he narrated. For every person who practices upon the hadith, not only today, till the day of Qiyamah, not only today, from the time of Abu Huraira till now, not only in Arabia, anywhere in the world, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu gets a sawab for it. Because he narrated the hadith to us. That is why he gets a sawab for it. Can you imagine how much he's accumulating? A little effort on his side to send the hadith to us. But for every thawab that he gets, for every deed and amal that he gets, for every thawab that he gets, Tufayl bin Amr al-Dawsi also gets a thawab. Why? Because Tufayl bin Amr al-Dawsi brought Abu Huraira to Islam. Abu Huraira, whatever thawab that he's getting, Tufayl bin Amr al-Dawsi gets a carbon copy of it. Can you imagine how they have managed? How they are going to, how they've amassed for the akhirah? How they saw their mind in terms of the akhirah, how their vision was there in terms of the year after. But when they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would be a day in which they would be comfortable. But they were never ever satisfied all the time. Always any opportunity to do good, they never left it. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in hadith, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take hold of five things before five. شبابك قبل حرمك. Your youth before your old age. وصحتك قبل مرضك. Your sickness, your good health before your sickness. وغناك قبل فقرك. Your wealth before you become poor. وفراغك قبل شغلك. Your free time before you become occupied. وحياتك قبل موتك. And your life before your death. Beautiful words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When time is gone, we can never retain, we can never get it back. Let us use each and every opportunity. When we're talking to people, let us talk to them as if we're never going to get a chance to talk to them again. When you read your salah as if you're never ever going to get a chance to read salah again. When you live every day like that will be your last day, because one day you're sure to be right. Live every day as if it's your last day, because one day you're sure to be right. And we don't know when that day is. With these few words, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He grants us that kind of jazbat, that kind of motivation that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had in them, that they strove for deen all the time. They wanted to do those things that please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the call is made, we respond to the call of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah forgive our deficiencies over and give us the tawfiq to overcome our shortcomings. Wallahi, this deen is not for a few people only. It is for everybody. It is for everybody. Shaitan will put us into deception. Just to conclude with this, Shaitan will tell us now, you know, if you're young, you're still young. When you go old, you can do something. You know, when you get married, maybe you can get a bit more pious. When you get married, you know, just attend to everything else. When you get a bit older, you can change your life. Then he tells you, you know, your beard is still black. When your beard is a bit white, then you can change your life. When your beard gets white, Shaitan will tell you, you know what? Allah is Ghafur Rahim, man. Just carry on with life. Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Shaitan is not there for our benefit. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that is there, what we should be concerned about, inshallah. Abdul, give us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. One announcement. Brothers, I'm sure you are well aware now that the Ijtima is taking place in Port Shepstone. And alhamdulillah, a lot of brothers have come in organized themselves in terms of jamaats to God in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What He has done for our town is unbelievable. There's been a flurry of activity. There's been a buzz of activities. So many people who are not even connected to the masjid have become connected to the masjid. So deeni inclined people have become. And I'm sure with your goodness that you can come there also, inshallah, benefit from the program that will take place on the day. And who knows, when people get together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's rahmah and mercy will fall. That is what we require also, inshallah. If you can be instrumental, and one talk from there can be instrumental to change one person's life, then you feel it's worth it. Because all you want is good for each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that increases mahabba amongst our communities. Allah ta'ala keep us united, inshallah. Keep us steadfast on deen till our dying day. Wa akhu da'an wa rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.